Welcome back to the Infertility Diaries podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey, and today we are joined by our guest, Madeline. Madeline, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm excited to chat with you today. You experienced an early loss, and when I had reached out to see if you'd like to tell your story, your initial thoughts were hesitation, just because of the early loss, and you said you felt like you didn't know how much you had to talk about, and that kind of sparked just in me, like, how important it is, I think, for us to talk about early loss, just because it's something that's not talked about enough, and it comes with a lot of stigma of, like, maybe my loss isn't as bad as others. Maybe it's not worth talking about, but I think, you know, we've talked about this before. Every loss is valuable and it's, you know, grief. And I think it's just as important to talk about as those later losses. So, I'm really excited that you're here.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I completely agree.
Yeah. So we'll just have you start and you can kind of just tell us about yourself and your family. And then we're going to do a bit more of kind of like a question answer episode for this one. And we'll just kind of get into the questions, but you can just start by telling us a bit about you and your family.
Yeah. So my name's Madeline. My husband and I have been married for 3 years. We currently live in Florida. We are both born and raised here. My husband is a teacher and I'm currently a stay-at-home mom. And we have two babies. We have one in heaven and we have one on earth. We lost our first baby July of last year. And I recently gave birth to my rainbow baby July this year.
Amazing. So I have a lot of questions, just kind of around that. And I know, you know, navigating your pregnancy with Cooper and, you know, everything like that. So, I might just kind of have you start by just telling us a bit about your loss, if that's okay.
Yeah. So we got pregnant in June of 2024. This was our first baby. It was so surprising, but we actually got pregnant on the first try, which I actually don't like to tell that many people because I feel like It sounds so bad because I don't want to make people stressed about trying to conceive and everything, but we weren't expecting it. We were trying to get pregnant with a summer baby because my husband's a teacher. And so we figured, if he's off of work for the summer, that would be a huge help for me with birth and postpartum and all the things.
Yeah.
And so we actually got pregnant and our baby was going to be born in March. So you're going to have a March baby. Mm-hmm. And because we wanted to start trying to get pregnant, like, because we were like, oh, it'll probably take us 3 to 6 months to get pregnant. Well, let's just start now because we've heard 3 to 6 is like the typical period. Mm-hmm. And when we found out we were pregnant, we were so excited. And I feel like there's like that initial like innocence when you test positive for the first time. I feel like when I tested positive with my rainbow baby, it was so different because my innocence wasn't there.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying.
For sure.
And so we actually found out the day as we were leaving before our anniversary trip, or it was our second anniversary. And so we found out right before we got in the car and headed to Georgia. And my husband still did not believe me that I was pregnant because I had total lying eyes. Like, I knew it. And I feel like as a mom, you just know when you're pregnant. But the lie was so fake. He was like, no, I don't believe it. So we ended up driving to Georgia and then we stopped in Target. And at Target, he was like, okay, let's get a digital pregnancy test. And I was like, we don't even need it because I know I'm pregnant. But once he saw that digital positive, it like actually hit him.
Yeah.
And we still found out early because that was 9 DPO at that day.
Okay.
But it's such an interesting experience because my entire pregnant, or I know you're pregnant beforehand, but the time that I knew I was pregnant, we were away on a trip. And so it's so interesting because I put the memories of our anniversary trip with celebrating that baby and then losing that baby. So that's like a whole other weird memory thing of mine.
Yeah.
But I look back at it and I'm just so thankful because we celebrated each and every single day and we went hiking and we ate all these fun foods in Georgia and we were just talking and dreaming about life with this baby.
Yeah.
And we got to take our baby on like all these fun adventures. And so I like want to look back at it with joy and think, wow, our baby got to, I mean, even though our baby was so little, I believe our baby got to experience and celebrate these things rather than, you know, like if we would just been at home, we would have just been doing the daily life, but it was really fun that we were on a trip being able to celebrate these things as well.
Yeah. That's a really beautiful way to look at it.
And so we were wanting to like right when we got pregnant, right when we got married, I wanted to get pregnant like as soon as possible. But mm-hmm. my husband really wanted to wait for financial reasons. But my grandfather has always said, if you want to have kids and if you want to wait till you have money, you're never going to end up having kids. Because I feel mm-hmm. like if you just wait to get all the money, it's just never going to happen.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just totally like a leap of faith to just try mm-hmm. to get pregnant when you're unsure of all the finances. And like yeah. looking back, like God has provided so much. And so it's just, I'm just so glad we just did it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you spoke about the kind of like feeling of innocence with the like initial pregnancy test that you took. When you think back, like, were you aware that miscarriage was a possibility? I know like most people from what like everybody I've kind of chatted to in my own experience, when we start trying, it's like, you know, I don't know anything about how to get pregnant or how any of that works, which is just like embarrassing to say. And so miscarriage and loss wasn't even something like on my mind. So did you find that you were aware that that was a possibility?
I was aware, and I knew that it was, I think the statistic is 1 in 4. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So I knew that was a thing and I was nervous about it. And so that's why I wanted to continue taking test strips. So I like on the mm-hmm. trip to Georgia, I like brought like my cheapy stick to check for the progression, but I actually ended up stopped testing for the progression because it was giving me anxiety. And I'm honestly thankful sure. I did stop because I was able to go through my whole trip with the innocence and like of thinking that it's all going great. Mm-hmm. And I think the whole trip would have honestly been ruined if I would have noticed that I was losing my baby, you know, mm-hmm. with like a chemical pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So can you kind of walk us through like when you found out you were losing it and what that kind of looked like?
So it was the day after we got back from our anniversary trip. I started spotting and like mm-hmm. my heart just sunk. And like, I will never forget the moment of looking in the toilet, seeing the blood, and like, mm-hmm. it's just like your heart stops. It is yeah. an awful feeling. And I don't wish that upon anyone. Like it is, yeah. it's a very distinct feeling. And it's like all the thoughts come at once. So then at that mm-hmm. point, I decided to take a pregnancy test. And it was so faint. It was fainter than when I actually found out I was pregnant. And I was just like new in my heart. But I was clinging on to that hope because I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe this is a bad test. Or, you know, mm-hmm. maybe I'll just wake up tomorrow and it'll be different. And, I hear of women spotting in pregnancy. So I'm like, you know, and I'm Googling, I'm like, and Google can be your yeah. worst enemy too. And I'm like, well, you know, maybe I'm just spotting in pregnancy and this just is a weird thing. But like that night I like couldn't sleep and my eyes were just so puffy from crying. Like yeah. it's just an awful feeling. And so I woke up around 4 a.m. that day. I took another test and I noticed I was actually bleeding and it was red blood mm-hmm. and I knew for sure I had lost my baby. And I just yeah. crawled into bed and my husband was there and I woke him up. I want to start crying thinking about it because yeah. it just feels like it was yesterday. Yeah. And I shook him awake and I said, we lost our baby. And it's truly a moment like the feeling of losing your baby, no matter how far along, it's unforgettable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is so unforgettable. Absolutely.
Yeah. And like you said, you're thinking about like all of the things that you're going to do with the baby and what life is going to look like. And within, yes. you know, like a day, it's just taken away.
Yes. And
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. And had you shared the news that you were pregnant or trying with any of your friends or family?
So yes, I did. The day actually before we found out, we had a Bible study group and it was like some of my closest friends. And I actually hosted like a baby shower for one of my friends. And at the baby shower, I was like, do you guys see a line? This is like the day before we actually found out we were pregnant. But I saw the faintest line. And so yeah. they actually, some of them saw it, some of them didn't, but it really was like a group event, but mm-hmm. Everyone really supported me. And then I actually told my parents that morning that we were pregnant as well. Mm-hmm. So like before we left for our trip, I like put out my faint test and like mm-hmm. a little grandparent book, but they also didn't yeah. believe me till they saw the digital positive as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one believed sure. me with the faint line, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And looking back, cause I know there's that whole stigma of like, okay, wait until you're 12 weeks before you tell anybody. Looking back, do you feel like you would do the same in future pregnancies? Did you find you had like extra support from having shared that news?
I would absolutely share in real time again.
Yeah.
Actually, after my whole experience, it really changed my perspective because I almost had wished I had posted about being pregnant as soon as I found out, because I feel like once you tell people, it really allows people to come into your life and support you and encourage you along the way. And if they don't know that what you're going through, it's hard for them because they find out what like you that your baby already passed. So it's just a completely different experience. Like I've had friends who I'd known that they were pregnant and then lose their baby, and then, or just knowing that they lose their baby. And it's a completely different experience when you know that they're pregnant to start off. So it actually really encouraged me to start sharing my trying to conceive journey in real time, my trying to conceive journey after loss. And so that's when on Instagram I started posting like what DPO I was and testing. And that has just been such a journey as well. And I feel like that was really beautiful to see how everyone supported me as well after my loss online.
And that's actually how I found you too. I think you were like, honestly, 3 DPO. And when you were testing, you were like, no, I'm pregnant. I know I'm pregnant. And I was like, how does she know she's pregnant? And then it was like, you eventually got your positive pregnancy test. And I was like, man, she knew she was pregnant. That's crazy.
Well, I can't resist, so I'm like, I'm just gonna test it 2 DPO, 3 DPO to get the fix out. I just need my fix, so I just gotta
Totally.
do it. I'm not even gonna fight it anymore.
And with your experience sharing online, did you find like, I mean, it kind of depends on like the community that you have online, but has anybody said, like, have you had any negative feedback from anybody either regarding like your early miscarriage the first time or sharing everything the second time?
Oh yes, absolutely. I have a whole Reddit hate group. Well, they don't
Oh,
like to be called
goodness.
haters. They like to be called snarkers.
Huh.
And yeah, so they put on there all the time about how I talk about my loss and how I miscarried at 4.5 weeks and how like I shouldn't be sad and how if because I'm sad I need to get mental health help and therapy and how I'm never going to be a good mom because I'm so distraught over this.
Oh my
Which
gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's so brutal what people say, but I want to share this because every loss matters and grief is grief, no matter how far along you lose your baby. Like, I truly believe that life begins at conception and science supports that. And I mean, it's so devastating because you imagine, like, when we were on our Georgia trip, like, we were sitting down and imagining what life would be like with our baby and planning out March, and March was our due date, and trying to figure it out with my husband's work. And you just imagine what life would be like. And so for you to lose that, you just lose not only your precious baby, but you lose everything that you envisioned in the future. And that is what's so hard.
Absolutely. And kind of going back to that loss, so what were the early hours like, early hours and days, I guess, like for you both physically and mentally, kind of navigating that loss?
So it's actually really interesting because when I was having So I had like bloody show with this pregnancy at 39 weeks and 2 days, and I was like having contractions, and I actually had that the year from when I had lost my first baby of when I experienced that, and it was extremely triggering, and it felt the same. Like, it was so crazy how it felt the same. The only way I can, like, after going through like full-term birth now, the only way I can describe it is it felt just like very early labor. I had contractions. I was really surprised I would have contractions so early. I had contractions for about 2 hours. They were very, they were very small, but they were unlike anything else. They weren't just like normal period cramps. They were like that full body wave. And so I had that for about 2 hours, and I just sat in the bath and just cried my eyes out because I mean it is so devastating. And I mean, I was just crushed, and I was just listening. There's this one song called I Will Carry You, and it is just so healing, and I just listened to it on repeat and repeat and repeat, and it was really healing to me.
I think you kind of touched a bit on kind of like how you were doing mentally as well for those first like early hours. And throughout like the coming days, like how did you find things were for you just kind of moving forward from that?
Yes, it was so hard, but the way I felt so close to the Lord was so it was unlike anything I've ever experienced. Like, I've gone through hard times, but it wasn't until like my miscarriage where I felt like the closest to God ever. And Psalm 34:18 says that the Lord is close and near to the brokenhearted. And that was so true, because I just felt like God's arms just wrapped around me in that time. And I just kept praying and praying. I was like, God, you know the desires of my heart. You hear the desires of my heart. And I was just like, why? Like, just so, so sad. I was like, there's, I have nothing to turn to but to God. Like, there is nothing that can provide me comfort, because this is just the hardest, like, truly like the hardest thing I'd ever gone to. And I just kept reminding myself, like, what I desire is good. Like, God created families. This is a beautiful, beautiful, natural thing to desire to be a mother. And like, what I want is good. And so I just kept reminding myself. And I was like, I mean, it's just so much surrender, because it's like, God, I don't know why this happened. It's like, you can't understand it. Like, we'll never understand why some babies make it, some babies don't. And it's just so much surrender, knowing that, like, and trying to find peace that, like, God has this perfect plan in mind, even when we don't understand it.
Yeah. That's so, it's kind of like that sadness, confusion, grief.
Yes.
Yeah. And were there any emotions that you had that surprised you, like that you weren't expecting to feel?
Well, you know what I did? In the midst of grief, I also had joy, and I definitely believe that you can experience two emotions at once. And I also feel like you can feel guilty. Like, I found myself feeling guilty when I was feeling happy just over like other things or people making me laugh, because I was like, how can I feel happy again after going through this loss? But you can totally feel two emotions at once, and that is something that I experienced, that I never experienced before.
And as far as kind of like, I know when we chatted briefly, you had wanted to talk about how it affected your relationship and your marriage. Can you kind of just touch on that a little bit?
Yes. So my husband and I learned that we grieve differently. And so I feel like that was, having a miscarriage was one of the hardest parts of our marriage, because I felt like my husband didn't care, but that wasn't the case at all. This was his baby just as much as my baby. And he loved this baby so much. I feel like when you're actually like pregnant and carrying the baby, it's such an intimate thing. And so sometimes it's harder for maybe men to connect. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so for sure.
Yeah. And so it's like such an interesting and unique feeling to be carrying a life and then for life to die inside of you. I mean, it's such a hard thing to wrap your head around. And my husband, he grieves inward and I grieve outward. And so I want to talk about it, and I want to bring it up and talk about it every single day. And for my husband, that just makes it worse. And so he wants to, he loves our baby in heaven so much, but he just grieved more inwardly. And so he wanted to go through it and then continue on, you know? And so that was hard on me, because I just found myself like, you know, does he care about this baby? But he does. He does, absolutely. And he loves our baby in heaven so much. I just learned that, you know, men and women, and also just everyone in general, can grieve differently. And that's totally okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And as far as kind of just like how he was able to cope with it, so inwardly, was there anything that you guys were able to do together to kind of process the loss? Or was it both just like you kind of did it on your own time in the way that you kind of needed to?
So the day that we lost, like, I for sure knew that we had miscarried our baby, I went public, not on Homemaking with Madeline, just on my private Instagram. I went public about our loss and everything. And we ended up posting on Facebook. And my pastor actually called my husband and they talked. And then when he got off the phone with my pastor, my husband just laid on the bed and we just wept together. And that was like, it was hitting my husband and it was hitting us that like we had found out we were pregnant and then we lost so early. It was just like the craziest emotional roller coaster, because it was all this joy and excitement and innocence and then all of this devastating loss and grief, and just our life was forever changed. And it was just all of this in like once. And it was just very overwhelming. That was actually one of the few times I've seen my husband cry, but seeing him cry and love our baby, like, it just drew us so much closer together. Like, even though it was such a hard part in our marriage is so much stronger because we've walked through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that we'll touch on this a bit later too, but I'm sure that that kind of moved with you into your second pregnancy and kind of navigating that journey together as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And as far as like the people that you chatted with in person, and then also, I guess, online after you kind of started opening up about that loss, was there anything that people said that you found either helped or hurt you?
Yeah. So there was one thing I'll never forget what my best friend was saying, one of my best friends. This was the night that I thought I was miscarrying, but I wasn't sure. And I was still hanging on to hope. And she just messaged me and was crying with me and said, I love you and your baby so much. And so hearing the fact that my friends also loved my baby too, because my baby wasn't just my baby. My baby was a grandbaby. My baby was a cousin. It's not just your loss. Like, this baby was someone to everyone else. Like, my baby was a friend. And so yes, absolutely. And so hearing her say that, I will never forget that. That was truly like the most, like, so meaningful to me in the moment. And then, you know, some people will just say everything happens for a reason, and that is something I would not say. Absolutely. I feel like that is so hurtful when someone's going through that. It's like, well, what do you mean everything happens for a reason? I hate it when,
like,
people
explain
say
this then. Yeah, it's funny how when you're going through it, you're like, oh man, have I said that to somebody before? Because
I know
that. it kind of changes, like,
so
how
true.
how do you speak to people, for sure.
Yes, it does. Like, there's some things I will never say to people now.
Yeah. Sleep when the baby sleeps.
Yeah. No, I don't say that either.
Yeah. Okay. And then as far as like how others kind of spoke about it, like, I know it's a topic that, and again, this is kind of the whole point of the podcast that I'm doing here, is like, people don't talk about it. They don't like to talk about it. It's uncomfortable. So how did you find others spoke to you about your loss? Like, did you notice there was that discomfort? It sounds like you have a pretty supportive group of people around you. But yeah, can you just kind of talk to me about how others spoke to you kind of about the loss?
Yeah, so I was so grateful to have just like such an amazing church community wrap around me. Like, I had people drop off gifts, and like one of my other good friends, she dropped off this like wind chime because I decided to make like a memorial garden in honor of my baby. Yeah. And so I just had like little things like that where just my friends really wrapped around me, and they also, you know, believed that life begins at conception. And so they truly did see my baby as like this precious soul I was carrying. Mm-hmm. And so I was very grateful that no one in my personal circle tried to tell me like your baby wasn't a baby because your baby was the size of a pea, you know? Right. Some people online did say that, but the majority of people online were so overwhelming and kind and encouraging. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's always just going to be people who say those things, but I don't want that to discourage people because
Yeah. And I think you're kind of in a unique position sharing that stuff online, because you are going to get like, you're going to get the keyboard warriors who are just mad and, you know, are just like, you know, being rude and saying really rude comments to you. But 99.9% of the time, nobody in your real life is going to say that to you. And if they are, it's probably best that you know, so that you can maybe reassess if they're truly somebody that you want in your circle.
Yes.
But I do think, yeah, you're kind of in that unique position where you would have had a little bit more of that like negative commentary surrounding it, which is why I was, again, super interested to talk to you, just to see kind of how that, like, if that affected you also moving into like your next pregnancy, and I guess just kind of how that speak around the early loss affected you.
Yeah. So with my next pregnancy, that was, after my whole experience, it actually kind of encouraged me to share my TTC journey in real time. Mm-hmm. And so I would post on Instagram and be like, I'm testing today. And I think you remember this too.
Yeah.
And so that all, I was like, okay, well, if I'm testing in real time, then I have to tell everyone I'm pregnant in real time, right? Which, like, I didn't even know how I was going to navigate that. Yeah. But when we found out we were pregnant with Cooper, who I had in July, we found out at 7 DPO. And then by 8 DPO, I had told everyone on Instagram. But I wanted to do that because if I were to lose another baby, and I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna get through it if I lose another baby, because it's the worst pain, I was like, I need people to know, and I want to share, because I felt like having a miscarriage can be extremely isolating, and I don't want to be in isolation. Like, I know for me, it has helped me so much to talk about it. Like I told you, like, I'm an outward share. I'm an outward griever. And like, I just express that way.
Yeah.
And so that that was when that whole thing, and that's kind of how my platform grew as well. But in the best way, as I was able to encourage women, and these women were able to encourage me too. And so it was just so helpful for me.
Yeah. And I wanted to go back to a question just kind of about like your experience with the early loss. Did you find at any point you felt like your experience wasn't as valuable because the loss was early? I think we kind of spoke about that, and that is kind of generally the sense. And how did you navigate that?
Yes, I was starting to become so insecure over the fact that, you know, maybe my loss wasn't that big of a deal because it happened so early, and because I was comparing my loss to other losses. I'm like, oh, well, people have it so much worse because people lose their babies farther along. But then I also reminded myself that I still lost my baby no matter how far along. And you also, what I talked about earlier, you also grieve everything that you had hoped for and everything that you dreamed of with your baby. And so, and I actually, like, when people would say to me, well, at least you lost your baby early, I didn't feel like that resonated with me, because I actually wish that I was able to be pregnant just one more day, just one more day to be pregnant with that precious baby, because every day is truly such a gift. And so I don't wish I had lost my baby early. I know physically it, I think it was, I know it was easier because, you know, the farther you are along, the harder it is physically. But I just loved being pregnant with that baby so much.
And it sounds like kind of speaking with, you know, your church and those people surrounding you is something that really helped you kind of navigate that as well.
Yes, I'm so thankful for just all of the love and support, but I don't think I wouldn't have had that unless I would have allowed more people to know about my situation and everything. So I'm just so grateful that we did that. But I also understand why people don't want to share about everything, because it's so hard, you know?
Yeah. I also wonder if there's parts, because I know for me it was like, oh, if I tell people I'm going to jinx it, you know, it's like there's this weird thing about like, if you're going to share, then it's, if something goes wrong, then you have to tell everybody or you're jinxing it. Like, there's just so much stigma around this whole waiting till 12 weeks thing. And I do think it just isolates women into feeling like they have to do this by themselves. And there are so many people that want to support you during these times, regardless of how far along the loss is. Like, I think it's just so important to communicate that with people, but it's so hard, you know, you find yourself falling into those being like, okay, well, I'll wait until this amount of time before I tell people, or, you know, even with this podcast, like I just stopped recording. I just kind of went haywire, and I was like, after 12 weeks, I'll tell people. And then I didn't. And then I was like, after 20, after 24, okay, after she's born, like I just kept pushing it off just for some weird thought of like, I'm going to jinx it, which is such like a, I don't know. It's just such a horrible way for women to feel when they're going through like one of the most joyous times of their life, right?
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's crazy. There's just like so many emotions around it. And it's just like, even an early loss can affect so much like moving forward into your future as well. And so I have one more question kind of about the loss, and then we can kind of move more into like your second pregnancy and how things were with that. But did you have a healthcare provider involved in the first loss at all? Or like, I was curious about that.
Yeah. So actually, I have heard that around in our area, I knew that I wanted home birth, and I've heard that they book up so fast. So as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I was like, okay, I need to find a midwife stat, like ASAP, because, and it was crazy because I actually had interviewed a midwife who I actually just had a home birth with. I interviewed her before I was even pregnant with my first baby. They do free consultations. And I was like, I knew I wanted to go with this person, and they were already booked. I'd called them like, I was like 3-something weeks pregnant, and by the time I called them, they were already booked for my due date.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that's how crazy early. And so that's why I like just tried to just get a jump on it and try to call people around. So they gave me other like midwife recommendations. And so on my trip, I was calling around and interviewing. And I eventually had to tell everyone I had lost my baby. And one of the midwives never responded, but I don't hold it past her because I think that they're just swamped with everything and they have so much going on. But the midwives who did respond like so kindly and so sweetly, like I knew that I wanted to go with one of them. And so the midwife group that I did end up going with, they were like, we'll offer you another free consultation and you can get lab works done to check all of your levels and everything. And they were just so, so sweet and just so tender to me after my loss that I just knew I wanted to go to them. So it was affirming that I wanted to go with them for my next pregnancy.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I know healthcare professionals can be very, and I think midwives are probably different because they are a unique kind of set of skills with pregnancy and labor and birth. But I know healthcare professionals can be very much like in the door, out the door, and kind of almost cold in a way. So it's, I'm glad that you had a really good experience with kind of sharing your loss and you didn't feel like less than from a medical provider, for sharing that.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. Okay. And then as far as your second pregnancy, so moving into the pregnancy that resulted in Cooper, how did you find you were feeling mentally kind of from day one, just moving throughout?
So trying to conceive after loss was so, it was so difficult. I felt like I was honestly holding my breath until I was pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And I'd already lost what I once had. And I just knew like, I couldn't go through it again. I was just so scared because if I lost another baby, I was so scared to lose another baby. I was so worried. And so when I tested positive, one of my Instagram friends actually sent me over this prayer and I prayed it every day with my rainbow baby and I would love to read it. It helped me so much. It said, "For my child's body, protect this body you have made, O loving Lord. Watch over breathing lungs and beating heart at the parts all knit together by your unhearing hand. So helpless born, please let him grow to find help in you. In my caregiving, Lord, remind me of my need met by all your sufficient hand. Please give him health and growth, sweet sleep and appetite. In my providing, may I rest assured in the provision of your sovereign hand. When sickness comes, may you bring comfort, healing. In my doubt or worry, Father, teach me how to give my child into your loving hand. Lead him to thank you for the body knit for him. Help me light up your good design for humans, male and female in your image, showing the Creator's hand. Lead him to praise you, knowing he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and let the praise that rises from our home grow into wonder at the one who took on flesh to save us fleshly creatures by his redeeming hand." And that prayer helped me so much. And I just prayed that every single day at night before we would go to bed. My husband, he would put his hand on my belly and we would pray over Cooper. And we know that we were going to name him Cooper. Like, I think by 7 weeks pregnant, we decided that. So it was pretty early on. Yeah. Oh, I actually wanted to say something. We actually decided to name our first baby in heaven. We named him Luca. I was looking up ways online for like how to navigate loss. And one of the things actually recommended was, you know, consider naming your baby. And I feel like that really helped me in my grief because it also made it feel so real because it was real. And I didn't just want to push that aside and pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. I haven't actually heard of that before, but that makes a lot of sense. Like, it is this little being that you had. And
yes. I also just kept telling myself, like, do not let fear steal your joy. And that was one of the affirmations that got me through birth as well, because I just wanted to celebrate each and every single day I was pregnant with Cooper, because I didn't know how long I was going to be pregnant, because I didn't know if this was going to happen again. And so each and every single day I just woke up and I said, thank you, Lord, for another day carrying this baby. And I also want to recommend moms and women to take 1,000 bump pictures. I don't care how early you are. Take all the bump pictures. I took some on my trip in Georgia. And when I look back at them, I just have so much joy because we just were celebrating and like, you don't know. And so I'm just so thankful for all the pictures I have, because if I decided like, oh, I'm going to take bump pictures once I'm 12 weeks, then I wouldn't have had any. Yeah. And even if it's not really a bump, I mean, my baby was so small, it's just bloat, but I had that bloat because I was pregnant. And so take your bloat baby bump pictures.
Yeah. And nice for you to look back on. And like you said, you had such a good like experience for that trip that you were on.
Yes.
And was there a point during your pregnancy at all that you felt like you were able to breathe, like, or did you just kind of trust it was going to be successful right away?
I didn't, because I had no idea. Like, I see everything on Instagram of women going through reoccurring losses. Mm-hmm. And I had to remind myself, just because we see on social media doesn't mean that's the majority of women. Mm-hmm. It's actually not the majority of women. But when we hear so many stories of women going through these awful recurring losses, we think it's going to happen to us. And so I had to push that aside and like think statistically, I have really good odds of having a full term pregnancy. And so I just kept reminding myself, like, statistically, I have good odds. I have good odds. So I just kept telling myself. Once I got past like the milestone of, I like to call it a milestone because it was a milestone for me with Cooper, of the day of how far along I was with my first baby. Once I got farther than that, I felt so much better. And I felt like, oh my goodness, like maybe this baby's staying, maybe this baby's here to stay. And then once I got past 6 weeks and it wasn't considered a chemical pregnancy anymore, because I believe that the window is up until 6 weeks for it to be considered a chemical. I also had so much relief. I actually don't like the term chemical pregnancy because I feel like it makes it seem like there's nothing there at all. And it wasn't a miscarriage, which no, it, life begins at conception. It is a miscarriage. And I feel like it downplays and say, oh, I just had a chemical pregnancy. It's like, no, you were pregnant. You carried this precious life and then you lost that precious life. Yeah. And so and I also got hate for that on social media, referring to my, to losing my baby as a miscarriage instead of a chemical pregnancy as well. But personally, like a loss is a loss.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds, I mean, just from kind of seeing you online, like you're such a positive person. And I feel like that probably helped you quite a bit through the second pregnancy, just staying positive, finding the joy in every moment. Like, you know, it sounds like you were able to find that joy through the pregnancy and not let the worry of losing it kind of consume you.
Thank you so much. One of my friends, it's a doula. She encouraged me in saying that, like, it's just anything can happen at any time. You know, you're going to worry about something, whether it's in pregnancy or birth or once they're born, like you're going to be worried, like when they get their license, when they're going to start driving a car or when they go to college or like when they start swimming or eating, like you're just going to be worrying about something all the time. And so she just encouraged me to just surrender it to God, because anything can happen at any time. And that's terrifying. But surrendering it to God really helped me find peace and knowing that God's plan is perfect, even though if I don't understand it. And it really helped me get through it, because there's so many unknowns. And I could not watch any videos on Instagram of people losing their babies when I was pregnant. I, even though I had been posting videos immediately losing my baby, and I want to talk about pregnancy after loss, I could not watch loss videos because it made me so incredibly anxious. And I just had to, every single time I was anxious, I just prayed and I said, God, please help me. Please help me get through this and just trust that your plan is perfect and just lay it all down at your feet, because it is hard walking through it with all the unknowns.
Yeah. Well, and I also find social media, like you kind of brought up a good point there. Social media is great, but it also can cause so much unnecessary doubt and worry. And like you were talking about, like, you don't want to see all these things online, because then it's in your head that that's going to happen to you, even though statistically it likely won't. But I think there's such a, it's hard to find a balance with social media, I think, of things that are helpful and things that are just going to cause you, you know, anxiety in the long run.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's, social media, love hate relationship, right?
I know. I agree. I know.
And I know. Like, you get it
all the time. I know. I have a love hate relationship with it too.
Yeah. And excuse me. So the second pregnancy, how did you find navigating that with your with your husband?
So we found out at 7 TPO with Cooper, and I told you that at 8 TPO, we told everyone. And I knew I needed to tell people because I needed the support in case we were to lose Cooper. And so that's how we navigated it. And it helped us so much to like pick our name early on. And I just took every single day as, you know, I'm pregnant today. That's what I told myself. I woke up and I said, I am pregnant today. I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, but I am pregnant today and I'm going to enjoy it and celebrate my baby's life. And so that's just how I tried to get through it, because those early days are so hard.
And did you find, like, I guess with your husband, like, how was he feeling about everything? Like, was he sounds like a pretty kind of level-headed guy as well, but was he pretty just like trusting that things were going to be good, staying positive, or did he kind of have those anxieties as well just because of your guys's previous loss?
My husband is very level-headed. That's so funny. He was so excited when we got the dye sealer. I mean, he was rooting on, like, I feel like also when I got the dye sealer, it was a huge milestone because I never got that with my first baby. And I know that things can still turn, once you get the dice dealer. But for me, that just made me feel so much better. But he didn't have too much anxiety, which is honestly such a God thing. Cause if both of us were a wreck, that would have been bad.
Yeah. We need one level headed person, right?
Absolutely. We really do.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And then, as far as like just how the loss has affected you either short term or over time, can you just speak to that a little bit?
Yes, I am 100% a better mother because of my miscarriage. Mm. I don't take, or I try not to take anything for granted. And I just try to treat every single day as a gift. I know that life can change in an instant and nothing would ever be the same again. And so I also just feel so connected to Cooper. And I think maybe part of the reason why I don't want to put him down ever is because of my miscarriage. And it's because I had that and I lost it. And I don't want to let it go. Now I have it. And so now I have Cooper. I want to hold him tight and I don't want to let go. And I also wonder if that's, I was just thinking about this the other day. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why I co-sleep, because Cooper is totally fine with being in the bassinet. He's totally fine with me putting him down, but I'm not.
Like, but you're not. Yeah.
I'm the person. And even though I'm a stay-at-home mom, like it's just not enough time with him. So that's
why he's like, Mom, put me down.
Yes, literally. He's like, Mom, I want to stretch. Like, please, I'm bored. And I just want to stare at him and kiss him and snuggle him all day because it's such a gift. And like when we co-sleep, like I just think that's because I need more of him. I just need to snuggle him.
So sounds like and so it sounds like pretty kind of positive, like how it's affected you in the long term is in a, maybe more of a positive way, just given, you know, how you are as a mother. Has there been any, not that I don't want to make this all negative, but has there been anything that you've noticed like negatively over time, just kind of, you know, thinking back to that loss?
So during birth, or sorry, not during birth, leading up to birth, I was honestly feeling triggered because I was feeling so sad the fact that I never got experience with my first baby. Mm-hmm. And so it is such a weird, speaking of when I talked about having two emotions at once, I experienced grief and joy still a year past my miscarriage because I look at my baby, I look at Cooper and I love him so much, but I would not have Cooper if I didn't lose my first baby. And I don't want to lose my first baby. I don't want that. Like I'm not happy that happened. So I experienced this motion of if it weren't for losing my first baby, I wouldn't have Cooper. And I love both of my babies so much. I love them differently. It's such a interesting and like, I still grieve. I still grieve because Cooper, he hits his milestones and like his little personality's coming out. And then it makes me stop and think. And I just said to my husband the other day, I was like, I wonder what our first baby's personality would be like. Mm-hmm. I wonder if our first baby wouldn't have wanted to be in the bassinet, or what his favorite toy would have been, or, you know, if he was happy during diaper changes or unhappy with the diaper changes, like all these little things. It makes me think back of, you know, what I didn't get to experience with my first baby. And so I still experience that grief a year out.
Yeah. It's very interesting how those feelings can kind of just be intertwined with each other. Like you think, okay, once I have my baby, then all of that will be erased. But it, you know, it sounds like it really hasn't. And it's kind of like interwoven itself into how you are as a mother and how you kind of go about your day to day.
It's so true. And also like going through a miscarriage and then having close friends go through a miscarriage, I feel like it is giving me so much more awareness of like what to say, what try to not say. And I know every loss is so different. You can't compare it, but I feel like it did give me a better understanding of what it, I mean, I did lose my baby, so I know what that feeling is. Mm-hmm. And so just, I feel like it's helped me better support my friends who have unfortunately watched through something similar, who have unfortunately walked through something similar.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so important because there are so many things that people say and that like even that you've maybe said in the past too, that can be so hurtful when you're, all you're doing is meaning like well intent, right? You're not trying to hurt the person by saying these things. And it's something that seems so positive, but just the way that it's getting taken by somebody who's experienced a loss is maybe, you know, in a negative way. And so I think it's, like you said, it does totally give you a different perspective on like what you should say to somebody going through loss and what you shouldn't.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And do you have any advice or a message that you would share with someone who's currently experiencing a loss or an early loss?
Yeah, it is not your fault at all. You can be the healthiest person. I remember thinking like, oh, because I'm young and healthy, like this probably won't happen to me, but it happens to anyone. It doesn't, like, it, there's all these factors and it can still happen to you. And so it is not your fault and you aren't alone. Like, it is, it's one in four women. It's so devastating, and miscarriage feels incredibly isolating, especially if no one knows you're going through it. And so I would just encourage women, if they feel like they want to let people in, that it could really help them if they, they tell others what they're going through, at least close friends and family, so they can help support you, and to not feel guilty over when you have your loss. If it's early, if it's super early, like 4 weeks or 8 weeks or whenever, just grief is grief, no matter how far along your precious baby is. And because you still envision everything about your child. And when you lose everything that you envisioned, that is so devastating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's really well said. And kind of going back to that, sharing with friends and family and even others, like, I, you know, for me, talking about infertility and those early losses was something I didn't do for the longest time. And once I started, you realize how many people have gone through it or are going through it. And it just gives you another layer of support and people to talk to who truly understand and who truly get it. And so I think that advice is very good.
Yes, absolutely. And I felt like I just, like, beat myself up as well, because I was thinking, like, well, is it because I didn't use a stainless steel pan for two years of my marriage? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you can get so locked in into, like, the crunchy community that it can be so overwhelming. And then you start to blame yourself, which is absolutely not true, because sometimes these things just happen. And so it's not something you did or didn't do. Sometimes these things just happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, kind of going back to that social media thing, so much stuff on social media being like, oh, don't do this and you'll get pregnant, or do this and you'll get pregnant, or, oh, have you had a loss? Do this instead. And it's like, there are so many factors that go into what causes a loss. And like you said, it's not your fault, and there's nothing you could have done to prevent it, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And are there any resources that you would like to share with those who may be experiencing or have experienced an early loss?
Yes. So one of my favorite books is written by Angie Smith. It's called I Will Carry You. This book is what a friend gave to me, and it just helped me get through my miscarriage. And it was just so beautifully written. Angie, she loses one of her precious daughters, and it is truly such a heartfelt book. There's also a song about it too, that I just listen to every single day after my miscarriage, and that's on Spotify, and that's called I Will Carry You as well.
Okay. Well, I will put those in the show notes as well for people that want to get those. Okay. Is there anything else that you wanted to kind of talk about or touch on that we didn't cover?
I don't know, but if you have any questions or you want to talk, DM me, please. I love talking to people in my DMs. So, like, perfect. I love it. I love when people send me voice memos or photos, and sometimes people send me positive pregnancy tests after lots, and I'm just rejoicing with them. It's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Just some more people to celebrate with, for sure. So I'll also link your Instagram in our show notes as well for anybody that wants to find you. But thank you so much, Madeline. This was so nice to chat with you. And like I said, I'm super grateful that you were willing to come on and talk about that early loss, because, you know, I'm going to beat this dead horse. I think it's just not talked about enough. And, you know, those feelings of people who have had an early loss, I think, get pushed to the wayside. And so I'm so glad that you were willing to come on here and to chat with us about it.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, you're very welcome.